presenter, for lack of better use of terms. Dr. Schroestein is with the University of Minnesota. She is faculty there with the Department of Nursing. Please give a warm welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for elevating my status. The doctorate isn't in hand until December, but it's on its way. I'm here to present a project that I was not involved with. The major players, which I'll introduce to you in a minute, were not able to come. And so I'll try to do justice to the work that they did. What is unique about this project is that it actually involved the development of a memorandum of understanding signed by the legal staff between the School of Nursing, an academic institution, and an NGO. So here's a cast of characters. Cheryl Robertson was the lead player in it. And with her were all these other faculty, some actually boots on the ground and some not, all of whom have had, within the School of Nursing, long-term, extensive global health experience, particularly in Africa. So when the Ebola outbreak happened, they were in probably as good a position as anybody was to do a response. And the response is what I'm going to be describing to you. And exactly the roles that these women played, I'll describe as we go along. Any of you know Cheryl by any chance, or have had a chance to meet her? The red hair is very descriptive. She's a firebrand, and she would be delighted to have me tell you that. So as you've just heard, the worst Ebola outbreak in the history was occurring in the fall of 2014, and the United States government and NGOs were rapidly scaling up to try to determine how they were going to respond. As it happened, one of the nursing faculty, Dorcas Kunkel, was born and raised in Liberia. Her parents were missionaries there. She has a long history, and every summer she goes back to teach in the nursing programs. So in that June, while she was there, she was emailing Cheryl about what was going on and describing situations like the nursing staff was wearing plastic bags over their hands for gloves because that's all they had. And by this time, fear and fleeing of those in positions to not only fear for themselves, but those who were in the healthcare system, such as it was, were leaving out of fear. Cheryl in herself has a long, long-term experience, and she has been very part of a group that's Minnesota-based called the American Refugee Committee. This was started in response, really, to the immigration Hmong community. If you might know, Minneapolis-St. Paul has the largest Hmong resettlement in the country, and ARC was really a critical part in that all happening, and Cheryl was there from the beginning with them in the resettlement. We'll talk more about their role as we go along. But as this was all evolving, she had coffee with a friend of hers from ARC, a fellow by the name of Fu Fong, and she was asking them whether they were going to do anything. ARC has a long history in Liberia, and what she discovered was that they had essentially pulled out a couple years earlier. They had concluded that their work was essentially done there, and they didn't see themselves as any kind of a outbreak response entity. Their expertise was in other areas. And Cheryl left that conversation disappointed because she'd worked with them many years, and they had literally evacuated her twice from really dicey situations that she had been in. So in the September of 2014, she was actually working in Nairobi. One thing I forgot to mention is that the University of Minnesota Academic Health Center has an USAID-funded program called RESPOND, and it's a global program for outbreak of emergent zoonotic diseases. And Cheryl's been part of the team that has been working probably for the last 5 years in various parts of Africa. So she just happened to be in Nairobi in that time frame. She got an email from her ARC colleague and said, lo and behold, they've been asked by USAID to build and staff an Ebola treatment unit in a very remote community in Liberia. And it had to be done, of course, yesterday. So this involved having to develop a legal relationship between the School of Nursing and ARC. And the sign probably says it all. The university lawyers were very, very concerned and really wanted ARC to be able to guarantee that she would come back safe and sound, both she and Dorothy. And, you know, would be evacuated at the early, well, you know, that can't happen. So Dorcas and Cheryl were actually at the airport ready to board the plane regardless of what happened when they got the word that indeed the MOU had been signed. So it was kind of a major miracle right there that that even happened. Truth of the matter is they would have gone anyway. Just a brief kind of recollection of what was going on, and you've already heard some of this from a previous speaker. You know, they were at the tail end of a rebuilding process after a terrible period of civil war, and a lot of what had been the healthcare system was just not there anymore, and public health in particular had been really decimated in the whole process. So when they got there, they had to rely on the rest of the faculty back home for a lot of preparing the knowledge base so that it was needed. Fortunately, on staff, we had Dr. Hal Cohen, who's her area is infectious disease epidemiology, and Dr. Pfeiffer, whose area is infection control. And so they were busily working out the details. Dr. Elkin was actually our unit chair within the School of Nursing, and so she was largely responsible also for making sure that everything got smoothed out administratively. In the meantime, one of our nursing faculty is expert in GIS, and so she and her students at the time mapped out the place that they were going, which is the River Gee County. It's largely mountainous, which doesn't really show up on this map. Very remote, very difficult to get to. But by the time they got there, they had detailed maps that Maddie had been able to provide down to the walking paths, which was quite an important piece for the work that they did. So the ARC team, just to give you a little background, as I mentioned, they'd had a history in Liberia, but overall their forte really is logistical capacity building. They can go in and get set up in a minimum amount of time. They have a long history also, as if in Minnesota there is a community existing from the country that they're going to, they tap into that. And so in this case, we do have quite a significant Liberian community in the Twin City area. And they approached that group, worked with them, and actually part of the team that went over was from that same community, and I'll talk more about that. They had a competent team put together within weeks, which is ARC's area of expertise. But as Cheryl will be quick to mention, it was a different kind of expat clinical team that they ended up sending over. The team included, I've got those notes here, besides Cheryl, there were two MDs, one from Minneapolis and one from Texas. The lead physician was a Minnesota librarian who just fortunately happened to be, excuse me, in the community. There were four RNs, oh, thank you. Four RNs who were also librarian, but trained in the U.S., and a PA from Minneapolis. And they also brought along, I think there were three community health workers who were from the Minnesota librarian community, but who had been trained as nursing assistants and were currently working in nursing homes in Minnesota. So this team flew over and faced the situation because none of them, except Cheryl and Dorcas, had any previous global experience. And she would say they were excellent clinicians, they had high skill levels and high expectations, but they had very minimal public health background. And in addition to that, they were stepping into a very chaotic environment. So for the Liberian people in particular, it was very complicated because this was the first time back for many of them to their own country. And for some of them who were first-generation Americans, it was going back to visit relatives or to see the country that their parents had left. And much of the reason they had left was for very traumatic situations. They tended to deal not only with culture shock, but with heartbreak from what they saw. And she described it as being both joy in being reunited with people that they had left or had always heard about. There's a lot of tension in that community between those who left and those who stayed, and there are high expectations among those who stayed of the people who left, many of which could not be fulfilled, obviously. And that was complicated because clinically, you know, for contagion control, they limited the ability of the librarians who came across to visit for fear of contagion. Thank you. So here was the whole group, and then you mix in the cultural issues like gender issues, discipline. The ARC people who came were described as uber macho logistics people who live and thrive on this adrenaline fueled, you know, get in kind of thing. It was an interesting group, to say the least. They got there. This is what the plan for the field was like. This is how the unit was actually built, and those are panels of concrete on people's heads. You've probably seen many pictures like this. You know, the units for the decontamination. This is a picture of Cheryl and her expat crew that she left, many of whom were Minnesota librarians. This is the entry to the hot zone, and a lot of people had not had hot zone experience, so this was a huge learning curve. The spigot on the left with the white piping is bleach water. The one on the right is plain water. This is Cheryl. And this was their major mode of transportation. Once they got, and of course this was kind of on the tail end, or I shouldn't say, but it was on the downward curve of the outbreak at this point in time. Once they got the center up and they had treated the people who needed to be treated, then Dorcas and Cheryl went out on these motorbikes, visited every community in that county, did preventive education, and made sure when they left there was a bucket of bleach water sitting in front of each hut. So they were able to use the mapping that had been done by the students to make sure they located everybody. And Cheryl would say this was probably the highlight of her work there, was actually getting out into the community and working with the people there. So it was chaotic. They were always late, considering what they needed, but she said everybody worked very hard, did fine, and that the School of Jersey continues to be involved with the Ebola response in Liberia.